Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's meditation is recorded in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verses 1 through 4, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I've caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, when that day in the temple, the old man Simeon saw the baby Jesus and his words expressed that sweet, exalted faith, "For my eyes have seen your salvation," what joy there must have been going through his heart. But on Mount Nebo, another old man, the one of the text today, Moses, hundreds of years before then, stood with not so exalted a sweetness of experience, because he was glimpsing a vista of the land that God had promised all of the people before him, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the believers, including himself. But as God spoke to him here, as he had seen all the land, as God had pointed it out to him, he said, "I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Icebergs are like mountains, and that mountain must have been like an iceberg that day, figuratively speaking. In fact, Nebo's apex is the tip of the iceberg, figuratively speaking, to understand why Moses was not allowed to cross over into the promised land. Deuteronomy, the book that this text is written in, is framed between the announcement of Moses' impending death in the very first chapter and in the very last chapter, the actual death. Why was Moses forbidden to see the promised land? The melancholy leitmotif of disappointment and death is found ringing five separate times. This death account, five separate times alluded to, beginning to the end of Deuteronomy. "The Lord was angry with me. The Lord was angry with me. The Lord was angry with me," three times, Moses reports. And in chapter 32, right before, he explains why. "Because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah in the wilderness of Zin. Because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel." That's why he wasn't going into the promised land. In the book of Numbers, we see it even again. And that's where the account of actually what happened takes place. God says there, "You rebelled against my command to hallow me at the waters before their eyes." You know, God's wilderness wandering people, we recall, were there in the wilderness. Like the hymn said, the opposite, no water to drink. And so they had come complaining to Aaron and to Moses, who went to God. And God told them, "Go, take the rod with you, but speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its power, its water, and thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock." Moses and Aaron, for whatever reasons, apparently had their own version, and it was certainly not God's. They said, here now, you can almost see something going on in their thinking here. They said to the children of Israel, "Here now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of the rock?" And apparently no longer was this really God who was being hallowed, but somehow Aaron and Moses had walked into the equation. And so Moses lifted his hand and he struck the rock, which is not what God had asked him to do, and the water came out because God is a gracious God. But Moses and Aaron had not hallowed God's name. Somehow or the other, they had kept that from happening. And God held Moses and Aaron accountable for not listening exactly to the word from his mouth. A warning to believers of all ages, including ours. The wages of sin is death. It was the very thing that happened in the beginning that Adam and Eve failed to listen to the word of God as he had spoken it to them. And here we have the same sort of thing. And today we have the same sort of thing. When God speaks his word to us, he wants us to listen to it. And as leaders, certainly pastors and seminarians and others who are in leadership positions, they have a double responsibility to obey God's word exactly, which is not what Aaron and Moses did. You know, like Johann Sebastian Bach, each of us ought to invisibly inscribe in our action, if we could do it in actions rather than in letters, the well-known letters that Bach placed upon his compositions, SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. Whatever their sin, it was rebellion not to heed God's word. The people had rebelled, and now Aaron and Moses had rebelled in their own way. And it cost Aaron and Moses, certainly not everlasting life, but it cost them the promised land. Those who listen to their own or other people's voices rather than the voice of God are at risk. And they risk everlasting life because God has spoken serious things that all people need to heed. And that's the law, but God is a gracious God. And we see that gospel coming through even in this text. Moses was a dedicated servant of God. He was a man with feet of clay like us. And that day on Nebo, God had a surprise for him. His surprise of grace is also our surprise. Moses would experience the promised land in a double sweet taste of God's grace from a loving God. Now, even if we've never taken logic, we recognize the syllogism, right? Don't we? Major premise, all human beings are mortal. Minor premise, Socrates is a human being. Conclusion, therefore Socrates is mortal. Even though Moses was a human being, and logically in that first major premise and minor premise, human beings is the middle term, in God's divine logic of middle terms, in this case the middle term was human being, it came with a divine difference. For while God told Moses that he would die on Mount Nebo without crossing into the promised land, and Moses did die there on top of the mountain, God forgave him his sin, because of the second Moses who was to come, and Moses still crossed over into the promised land. Jude 7 indicates the devil fought with the archangel Michael over Moses' body, and God always wins, and the archangel won in this case, and Moses' body apparently did not experience corruption of death, and it was given a spiritual body in heaven. In 1 Corinthians, Moses is depicted as a Christ figure. And Moses' sin of striking the rock is eclipsed in this obvious allusion to this past text before us. Because Paul writes, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the spiritual drink, same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. On this day, as Moses, before he had died, gazed 100 miles ahead, if we were on top of a mountain here, we'd be seeing St. Cloud. Somehow his eyes probably touched upon one mountain, either maybe Tabor or Hermon. And that's the mountain that he would stand on one day with the second Moses, Jesus Christ, when he was transfigured. And now he, Moses, along with Elijah, spoke with Jesus Christ and talked about, as the gospel recordings tell us, about his exodus, about Jesus' exodus that was to come. Ironic, isn't it? Moses, who had brought the people of God out of Egypt into the promised land, now it was Jesus and his exodus, dying and taking people out of earth into heaven, that he discussed. A much larger and expanded land, if you will. Moses was the middle term in God's divine logic of salvation, leading to an enlarged understanding of promised land. And the real estate of earth for Jews was expanded so that for Jews and Gentiles, all who believe in Jesus Christ in the second Moses, now the promised land would be heaven itself, far beyond any kind of earthly real estate. For all who believe, Christ, who is not only the water of life, but the rock of our salvation. Our life now and hope for life in heaven is as certain as God's promises and the love illustrated in Moses, whose sins were forgiven because of Jesus, who kept the law perfectly, Jesus did, opening the gates of everlasting life for all of us. The commands from God's mouth to Moses remain the same. Listen to him. And that's what God says to all of us today. Listen to him. To Christ, the water of life and the rock of salvation. For as Moses learned, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, for the glory of God.